song of freedom.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 9:59 a.m. coming up at 10. Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints. And at 11, Stage and Studio presents Maymay, a Daughter Song. At 11:30, Art Focus is off today, and we'll hear instead a rousing speech by transgender pioneer and author Leslie Feinberg, who died this past weekend. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for your community radio. If you are not currently a member, you can remedy that at kboo.fm. Click where it says Donate Today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 18th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the air. On the web, today's guest, Steve Horn, was intended to be yesterday's guest. Sorry about that. And we also hope to be joined by Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG down in Coos Bay, where the many people know already that the Pacific Connector was recently signed off on. And we still breathlessly await the Keystone XL decision, which we pretty much know what's going to happen there, thanks to the Mary Landrieu and that lot. That coming down the pike, and not to forget Ferguson and tension building. If this guy is not indicted, the whole St. Louis area will blow up. At the same time, beneath the radar, a police presence everywhere has amped up in the discreet way that police are able to do that. We have briefly just a couple of headlines. Corporations run big, but they have not even begun to fight. Why bother when the fix is already in? The State of Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals confirmed Douglas County's decision to allow the Williams Company to construct the Pacific Connector gas pipeline. So it's going to run through the Umpqua Valley. The pipeline runs through the Klamath Falls to Coos Bay, Oregon, some of the most beautiful, pristine wilderness on the whole West Coast. Or it would cross the Fremont Wenamo National Forest. That's about 550,000 acres of old growth forest. That's more than half of its territory. It's home to the threatened bull trout. This is the route of the pipeline they just signed off on. The British Columbia Supreme Court granted Kinder Morgan an injunction to stop protesters from blocking the company's survey work in the Burnaby Mountains. There's five people out there right now. They're mainly people from Simon Fraser University, and Stephen Colas has been one of their main spokespeople. He was named in the company's multi-million dollar suit. The 13 and accounting, that's how many illegal wars that the U.S. has launched in the Middle East against sovereign nations since 1980. Those are just a very few headlines that we want to touch upon before we speak. We've got two guests today. We have Steve Horn with DeSmog Blog talking about the Keystone XL TransCanada and collusion with ERM. Not just here, not just regarding the Keystone XL, but all across the world, where places that people in Oregon can't even pronounce are being destroyed. Joining us also is Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG down in Coos Bay, one of the lone voices, one of the strongest voices, and one of the most persistent voices speaking out against the Pacific Connector and the proposed Jordan Cove Terminal. I want to say very warm welcome and good morning to Steve and to Jody. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
This is wonderful that you're both here. So let's get started with Steve. I want to ask you about the collusion between TransCanada and ERM. What is ERM? A lot of people are just not familiar with this company. They're an extremely powerful entity.
Yeah, ERM Group is a go-to consultancy that does environmental and social reviews of projects before they get off the ground. And the State Department chose ERM Group to do its, TransCanada chose the ERM Group to do the environmental impact statement for the Keystone XL that the State Department used, that's now the one that gets talked about when politicians go up on the Senate floor, for example, and say, you know, there's been five reviews, and even the latest one said that there's no significant environmental impact for Keystone XL. Well, that came from ERM Group, which just so happens to be funded. You know, that report that they did was financed by TransCanada because there's a built-in conflict of interest in the whole process. So TransCanada gets to pick. The State Department then publishes it, and when politicians go up and talk about it, they don't have to say any of it. They just have to say, you know, the State Department did this, and then this is what they said. And so ERM Group has a significant track record of just saying everything will be A-okay with every project that you know, the oil companies or mining companies or gas companies or coal companies. They pay ERM Group basically to look scholarly and say that things will be a certain way, but the actual track record shows pretty much the exact opposite in many cases of what ERM Group said would happen actually did happen.
Well, it's hard to understand how one corporate entity could has the authority. Who granted the authority? Why is this not... Not that it's much better, and not that it's much different, but why it seems like the line between corporate power and government authority is blurred to the point of extinction here.
Well, right, and I think that I think if anything is troubling, it's not so much that TransCanada would pick, would fund a report that would say a certain thing. Corporations do this all the time, every day. Even more troubling, a step up from that, is that TransCanada is given the authority by the State Department and the United States government to pick who gets to do that environmental impact statement that becomes the report of the United States government. That is the troubling part. And then equally troubling is that then thereafter, senators like Senator Mary Landrieu, who is the sponsor of the bill that will be voted on today on Keystone XL, or her opponent, Representative Bill Cassidy, in the runoff election in Louisiana. Both of them sponsored bills in the House and the Senate. And, you know, politicians go up on the Senate floor and the House floor, and they go ahead and cite that report and don't tell the American public any of the stuff that we're talking about right now on the radio.
This is troubling past all words at this point. I want to bring Jody McCaffrey into the conversation. She has been working not tirelessly because it's exhausting work, but consistently to prevent what has just happened here, which is related very much to the collusion between government agencies and corporate interests. Jody, the decision on Jordan Cove that just came down, could you review for us how that happened and how corporate interests were involved in the decision-making process?
Well, what was just released by FERC was a draft environmental impact statement, and FERC does just it's the same kind of thing that Steve's talking about. They hired a consulting firm to do the EIS, and basically what that firm did was take Jordan Cove's resource reports that they provided and just regurgitate it. And what do you think that's going to say? It's going to say exactly what Jordan Cove wants it to say. It's not an independent report, then, that has independent analysis that's not influenced by the very industry that wants the permit.
And the people, you know, the public input here, the meetings have been, would appear to be intentionally made difficult for people to attend, and so-called official reports and statements and articles and papers, the APE reports, have distorted some of factual evidence that the opposition to Jordan Cove has been presenting for years now. Given the corporate interest here, what are the chances that we really are going to see this pipeline right at the moment?
Well, right now, we need to rise up as a people. People are going to have to do this. They're going to have to rise up and start challenging these things and try to take back what was supposed to be government of the people, by the people, for the people. People do need to participate and point out the errors in the CIS, and then I think that ultimately it'll have to be challenged, and that's going to be the case probably with all these projects. So that's unfortunate, because we should have somebody that's looking out for our interest overall, not just corporate interest.
There seems to be a huge vacuum there. Steve, ERM, could you talk to a little bit more about some of the other these dubious enterprises that ERM has been involved in? And everyone now knows the words Keystone XL. Lots of people don't understand it and only believe what they hear on CNN and so forth. But behind all of this, ERM has such extraordinary power. How did they amass the kind of power that they are exercising right now?
Well, ERM Group has its roots in the tobacco industry, as far as I know from my research that I did. If you look back in the tobacco legacy archives on the San Francisco, University of San Francisco website, you can see that ERM Group was being paid by the tobacco industry to go, basically these same type of reports to say that smoking doesn't kill people, or smoking doesn't have these the health impacts that the public interest groups are saying, and many other things. I wrote a whole article about this, if you look back at the documents. And so it's only natural that they would move from the tobacco industry to then going ahead and working for the fossil fuel industry, that's now wreaking havoc on the planet and causing significant climate change impacts, going out and saying time and time again, well, hey, look, this just won't have a very significant environmental impact, and coming up with some concocted reason as to why that's the case. And if you look at some examples of what they're up to in recent years, my article that just came out, they were paid by a subsidiary of Cameco Corporation, which is a Canadian mining corporation. And they have a huge gold mining.
That's the name. It's just called that, Cameco Corporation.
Cameco. Cameco. So they have a huge mine in the mountains of Kyrgyzstan, a gold mine, and it's 4,000 feet in elevation. And they pretty much, ERM Group was paid by them to say that it won't have any significant environmental impact. Well, it turns out that gold mine is now melting glaciers up in the mountains there. So that's one example. And the examples are numerous. I've written about them, and I linked to them in this article about the Central Asian gold mine. So I've probably written like five or six articles about different things at the ERM Group.
Note to listeners, you can get all of this at this smog blog, and it makes for some extremely interesting, very alarming reading that you absolutely, I haven't seen anywhere else. The gold mine business in Kyrgyzstan, what that's going to do, because of melting glaciers, it will have a massive effect on climate throughout the through Central Asia, and affecting
exactly.
Even like this is the source of the Indus River, I believe, which is the river which creates floodplains. This will affect the lives of millions upon millions of people, and if people don't think that this isn't going to cost, let me tell you, this is going to cost big time, and we have not even begun to see the results of this, and yet this company, the ERM, which very few people ever heard of until you start, until you've been writing about it, it is always mentioned sort of on the side, and the fact that the ERM seems to have more power than, why don't we have, don't as taxpayers, don't we pay people to do this? Why do we have this company?
We paid, and we, you, me, listeners, paid for this environmental impact statement, probably paid for the Jordan Cove one. You know, all of this is, although these private entities are doing it, it's part of the official governmental process. Even though TransCanada got to pick who did the review, I think officially it's still a government contract, and so that means we paid for these reviews. We paid for these corporate completed reviews that had predetermined results.
Steve, thank you so much for that. We're out of time. Jody, thank you also. Final closing thoughts from both of you before we let you go. Jody?
Jody.
Go ahead. Well, people need to realize this and demand that the laws on the books that are already there are followed, and that our own government that's supposed to look out for us does these environmental impact statements the way they're designed to be, not the way they're being done.
Steve?
My last thought is I agree with something that Jody said before, and that's the central importance of citizen involvement in this. If you look at the Keystone XL right now, today, there are protests in congressional offices, and yesterday there was a protest in front of the House of one of the sponsor of the Senate bill, Senator Mary Landrieu. So I think that this stuff is having a significant impact on Keystone XL, and it can have one on things like Jordan Cove and other projects.
Thank you so much for that. My guests have been Steve Hahn with, of course, the DeSmog blog, where you can read at some extraordinary stuff and see pictures of the glaciers collapsing before our very eyes. And, of course, Jody McCaffrey, who is the creator of Citizens at Gates LNG and the lone voice crying the wilderness down the coast, attempting to save the what's left of the West Coast. You wonder what happened to the starfish? Well, there you go. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show for us today. Thanks so much for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Arnold.